Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome to a hostful edition of the Nerdist Podcast. Hey, the Nerdist channel is launching soon, April 1st. YouTube.com/Nerdist. We're actually making programming, a lot of programming. Programming that covers tech and gaming and cosplay and science with people you may have heard of like Rob Zombie and Neil Patrick Harris and the Awkward Family Photos guys and many more that I'll be announcing soon that I'm super excited about. So jump on the bandwagon or early adopt that shit. Go to youtube.com/Nerdist and click subscribe. Hey, I'd like to welcome back Hover.com to the Nerdist Podcast as a sponsor. Hover is all about making domain registration and service that is simple. So over the years, domain registration sites, they're just complicated and they try to sell you a bunch of crappy services you don't need. There's like 50 clicks and you just want to punch the wall or a computer or yourself or a faceless person that does not exist on those websites. So that's why I use Hover to register domains. They don't sell a ton of services. They focus on making it easy to register and manage domains and email. There's a no-hold policy for customer service calls Monday through Friday, 9 to 8 p.m. Eastern. You actually get a live person. They won't put you on hold. So set up email addresses, forward email addresses, redirect domains, create URL extensions, set privacy controls, anything you want. So go to Hover.com right now and enter the promo code Nerdist. You'll get 10% off your new domain. And I'd like to thank them once again for being a sponsor of the Nerdist Podcast. And now, the Nerdist Podcast number 168. More hostful goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Blah, blah, blah. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Is your mic working that way?
Yeah.
It's on.
Yeah, you sound cool. What's in the mail pouch? Mail pouch.
It looks like a script.
It's a preview. It's what they send out of a book before it comes out.
A galley preview?
So you created a wormhole, the Time Traveler's Guide to Time Travel. By Phil Hornshaw and Nick Hurwicz.
They're still workshopping the name.
Great. I like it.
Well, Chris actually just read the entire book. He's a speed reader.
He's like,
No. I followed the wormhole theory.
Yeah.
So I already read it in the future.
Wait, what?
That's so mind bending.
If that's the case, then I will come back later and give myself a beer underneath that. No, it didn't work. It didn't work. I guess I don't do it later on. I probably just took a nap instead.
Oh, how are you guys doing?
Good. I went to a wedding this weekend.
That's another one?
Yeah. This was downtown, so this was nice.
Every motherfucker getting married and shit.
It was Kate Freund and Rob Schraub. It was a beautiful, beautiful wedding.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Dan Harmon was the officiator.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was he drunk?
No.
Okay.
But it was a
They probably didn't really make him wait 2.5 hours like we did.
Don't Stop or We'll Die was the house band that played while everyone was being seated and stuff like that. Nice. It was really, really, really pretty awesome wedding.
Did you cry?
I did tear up.
What?
I did. Yeah.
Just saying that as a joke. Why would you actually tear up at a wedding?
Because it was pretty. It was an emotional thing. I mean, they've been together for 7 years, and they didn't really need to like get married, but they just kind of said like, you know, let's do this for our family and our friends and stuff like that, and
to shut them up.
Yeah.
When are you gonna get married? When are you gonna get married?
And I also really appreciate the fact that even up until the day before the wedding, Kate would still refer to Rob as her boyfriend. And I love that just because I hate the fucking word fiance.
Yeah, it's a weird word.
It's a dumb word. It's a dumb word. Just people trying to sound fancy. You know, yeah. I know a couple that's been engaged longer than they've been an actual couple.
Really?
Wait. Yeah. If like you were to split it in half, the engagement has lasted longer than they were boyfriend girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
I was confused. I thought they got engaged and they were like a year. They were like, let's start dating.
Well, now they can slowly drift from being pecked by their relatives on when are you getting married to when are you having kids.
Yeah.
When are you having kids? When are you having kids? When are you having kids? You having kids? You have kids? Mine.
But it was great. On Friday night, I did the Writer's Room, which is Jimmy Pardo's show.
Yep.
It's a show where you go get insulted.
Yeah, it wasn't that fun.
Who insulted?
It was Aaron Lee, who I love. And, Jared Grody, who's got a sharp wit. And then it was Daniel Koenig, who's a great joke writer. And what was the other? Lori Kilmartin? No. I can't remember who the fourth person was. But yeah, it's like right when I walk out, they all just start writing. I'm just like, all right, well, I'll get ready for all the hipster jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you did your set and then they critique you on it, right?
Yeah. It's a weird feeling.
Did you get any constructive criticism or was it just
No, it was all just like hipster jokes and you drink too much jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I got enough of that for my friends. But then after that, Derek Waters put on the Instagrammies, which was an award show for people who take Instagram pictures.
That's pretty funny.
And Stephen Merchant presented Mike Rosenstein with the Lifetime Achievement Award.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really, really silly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun.
I like that Mike Rosenstein. He's nice.
He's a guy that's everywhere all the time.
Good beard.
He works
good
at Red Hour.
That guy. Yeah.
It's Ben Stiller's company. His beard is amazing.
His beard is epic.
It's like a whole... He's like one of those drawings where you could flip it upside down and the face works either way. Yeah. Like he has head hair on his face.
Yes.
Like he's almost... Straight.
No, yeah.
God, I am.
Almost lycanthropic. Like almost...
Yeah. That's good. It's a good beard.
It's a good fucking beard.
And he's like 12, too. He's really young. Look at that baby with a beard.
He went to BU, I think. I think we talked about
that. Baby University?
Yep, Baby University.
PU.
Guys, Beardly U.
I wanted to tell you both, I ordered Rogaine.
What?
Really?
Yeah. Today. I subscribed on Amazon.
I thought
part of that is that you're not supposed to tell people about that, but you're telling people.
Oh, I don't care. Let them know.
What do you... So
I don't give a shit.
You're concerned that...
My concern is that I'm losing... hair.
Why don't you do Propecia?
Which I am. I don't understand the Propecia thing.
It's a pill instead of a whole...
Is that a prescription? Is that a prescription?
Yeah, but it's like... And also, I think... I believe Propecia also helps your...
Boners?
No, your...
Liver?
Boners.
What is that?
Liver boners? Asshole. Rectum? Shitting.
Prostate. You have to see what Jonah's doing.
He was doing like a curled around one-up finger.
Like he was making...
Like poking up.
That's Cape Cod as far as I'm concerned.
That's sometimes where the doctors go.
Cape Cod looks like on a map.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helps your prostate. There's like stuff in there that's good for your prostate.
Interesting. Well,
but also, it's also a weird pill because they recommend if the pill is like cracked, there's a crack in it.
Don't touch it.
Pregnant women. Women, yeah. don't touch it.
So I feel like Rogaine's better.
Yeah, maybe it's better to have a topical solution than a thing that you have to put in your mouth.
We'll see what happens. I was watching. I found an old hard drive, and I was looking at videos we made in college. And I was just looking at my hair, and I was like, God damn it, that was a good head of hair. And it's gone.
Is it?
The hairline's going like crazy. And well, this is all getting thinner. I don't care for it. I got this.
I don't care for it.
I got this happening.
What happening? It just looks like... It doesn't really look that thin. Just looks like a normal...
Or as Andy, the stage manager, said, you got a helicopter landing pad back
Ooh,
there.
Ouch.
He's cranky, though, because he's older.
I know, but still. I don't want to lose my hair. It's all I have.
And so Rogaine works...
That's the rumor.
That's all you have besides a nice place to live, a girlfriend, and a couple great jobs.
Oh, I was just talking about physically, Chris. I don't know why you're bringing it around like
you
that.
You look great. You've lost a bunch of weight. Listen,
I'm still just a fat guy.
We're retreading that old territory.
You're
hair.
Not just a fat... Okay, all right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
you.
I'm not going to... Listen, I get down on myself sometimes. I understand. No, nothing anyone says is going to make you feel better.
My father suffered
hair.
From depression.
Feel your
Chris.
Hair.
Oh, Chris.
They put that spray in your hair at before I go on G4. They fill it, like
the thicken it out.
The thickener, the hair thickener stuff.
Yeah, does it work?
Yeah, it does. I thought my hair looked pretty thick today.
So you're going to go swimming, you're going to feel confident, play tennis.
Yeah, probably when I get out of the pool, I'm going to shake my head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a thing I would normally do, but after real game.
Why is it that, and this is nothing against those guys, why is it that every one of those guys in the commercial, you look at him and you go, you just weren't meant to have hair there. Like, it just looks wrong
because
on him.
Because you see bald him, and bald him looks great. Natural, that's the bald guy. But then you see hair him, and you're like, oh. It doesn't look right. You look better bald. Whereas me right now, if I just stop it, if I stop the progress of my scalp, because, guys, I shaved my head once, and I have divots on my head.
Oh.
And it looks kind of like a golf ball. It's very weird. I can't get an even shave either because of the divots.
Right.
It's weird. I don't know what's going on with my head.
That's a lot of bigger guys have those divots in their
head.
Yeah,
I don't want it. Like the guy
like Terry Crews has divots in his head.
The guy that spins records. Yeah, you know, Terry Crews. Sugar Ray has that.
President Camacho from Idiocracy.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Really, he's so funny. He's such a good actor.
Maybe it's just because I'm fat that the divots are there.
You sure they're still there?
I don't know, because when I shaved my head, I was close to 500 pounds.
Why would you shave your head when you're 500 pounds?
Wanted to save money on a haircut, Jonah Ray. Did it myself.
It's a fair answer.
Yeah. You could also just cut your hair.
Do you want to shave your head now just to see what happens?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Because what if it didn't come back?
I feel divots. I think they're still there.
I have a mole right here on my head, and it's every time I get a haircut, they always nick it.
Oh!
Yeah. And it used to hurt. It doesn't anymore. I think it's just kind of been calloused over.
Oh.
But yeah, right there.
Hair's That's that where your soul thing leaks that I out. Just, like, I would freak out if I lost my hair any more than I already have. It would really, really make my life miserable.
But what if that's what, you know, what if that became your look and then, you know?
No. Why does that have to be my look? Why can't we'll just stop it where it is, guys. We're going to stop the aging process now.
Yeah, I did get freaked out about the idea of that as I started getting older.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah, I guess. But I still feel like I had hair lower on my forehead when I was younger.
That's most guys, though. Yeah.
But I feel like I would look weird if I tried to fill it in. I think, you know, I don't know. Barring some kind of crazy, horrible accident, I would like to never feel like when I get older that I need to do anything to fix myself. I just want to be okay with.
That's a personal. That's
who I am.
Yeah, and
like whatever happens, you're like, well, you know what? I'm just going to age.
But it is hard. I mean, like, you know, in the last couple of years, starting to feel like, oh, I feel time. I understand now. I feel, you know, when you're in your 20s, you never feel like you don't ever go.
I feel it.
Oh, there's an end point. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you never feel like that. But then for me and in my 30s, I started to feel like, oh, my God, wait a minute. Oh my God, I'm going to change. And I, you know, and it's scary because change is scary. So I just, you know, I really want to just be okay with
whatever happens
and not saying I'm going to be, but I'm just saying I would like to think that I am that person.
Yeah. I like to think that, you know, you could get to a place in your life where you're just happy.
Yeah.
Someday. We're just happy with you. There.
Someday.
I think so.
There's a day we'll get there.
Come on, you guys. Well, you got to let us know how that works.
Yeah,
what is it? It's a mousse, right? You put it in your hair.
I don't really know anything about it. I just ordered it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I've talked to some people.
That's how you spend most of your life. I don't know anything about this guitar. I just ordered it.
Oh, I know everything about the guitars.
that was like Jonah's when you try to do 4 Outer Body. Oh, I just pieced something together with the reviews I read on Amazon.
I really think it would have worked, too, if I hadn't had that bad chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And then broken my arm.
Yeah,
that was a really bad chicken that broke your arm.
It was a really bad chicken.
That was a zenith moment right there.
It was a zenith. Yeah.
Still makes a lot of noise. So on colder days, I just like
it clicks.
I hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, I just heard it. Oh, fucking gross, dude.
Yeah, I know.
No,
it sucks.
I'm all crackly too, though.
Yeah.
I just got back on the diet like hardcore 2 weeks ago.
How does it feel?
It's good. 12 pounds.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then I had a cheat day, like a legit cheat day yesterday,
where
I woke up and I went to Soup Plantation and ate a shit ton of muffins, because they're delicious with as much butter as I wanted.
Well, I never would have thought about that. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's not Muffin Plantation.
No.
But
no.
They do have good muffins.
They have breakfast one day a week, Sunday at 8 a.m.
That's weird.
Delicious.
It's your cheat day. You can go anywhere and you go to the soup plantation.
The muffins are fucking great and I can't touch those during the week. Well, what's wrong with that, Joe? Yeah.
I don't know. There's just so many great bakeries all around the city.
Oh, I fucking love their muffins. They bake them fresh.
If he loves them, he loves them.
He loves them. I know.
What's wrong with those muffins?
Nothing.
I got to tell you, though, the Doughboys in LA has the original. I mean, I don't know. I feel like they maybe made the first one, but if not, then I'm fine. But the red velvet cup, the red velvet cakes. At Doughboys,
yeah, those are pretty good.
Fucking mind blowing.
At Soup Plantation, they have a donut muffin.
Oh, they have that at
a cake donut, but it's
they have that at the Village Bakery, which they have great, great pastries.
What's a donut muffin? A muffin is
cake donut.
Oh, gotcha.
At least there.
Well, it's soft like a. It's great. It's great. It actually tastes kind of like a malasada, which is like a Portuguese donut.
So it's like the blade of donuts.
Yes, it lives within.
All our strengths. No, no,
I watched Comic Book Men last night.
How was it?
It was good. I enjoyed it. Do you know why I enjoyed it? Because people walk into the store with cool pop culture-y comic book stuff, and then it's valued and bought.
Oh, yeah. It just got into you.
Kevin just cracked the code there.
I'm excited. I DVR'd it because I did Talking Dead last night, so I was not able to watch Comic Book Men.
To be truthful, I torrented it. And then watched it this morning.
I think that's a fun night of programming on AMC.
Yeah, that's a good block.
Walking Dead, Comic Book Men, Talking Dead.
Wait, what's Comic Book Men? I don't think
It's Kevin Smith's show, but it's sort of a... it's about his comic book shop in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's it.
Is it a narrative or is it
reality? It's a reality show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's like Walt and Brian working at the store and Ming is there and Mike. And it's cool. It's really cool. It's a cool show.
That's neat.
I look forward to watching it when I get back from New York.
It is neat.
Yeah.
And then they wrap it. What they do is they wrap it with like a podcast. So during the show, they'll cut to roundtable of all of them with Kevin.
So smart, promoting the podcast.
Wow. Yeah.
And it gets Kevin on the show too.
Plus, he thanked you today on Attack of the Show for the idea, because when he went and did Talking Dead, that sort of cracked the code for him.
Oh, good.
He's like, and then he said something very interesting, which I agreed with. Sports, you know, you watch a sports game. I sound like you guys. You watch a sporting event, and afterwards, you know, they talk about the game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really happen on television for shit that's not sports.
Well, strap it in, because it's going to start happening.
Yeah, there's also, they have Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Which is the Bravo post.
Yeah, I think it's on 5 nights a week now.
Yeah.
But I'm glad for Kevin. He's a great guy, really nice guy, and I think that's cool. And you know, it's funny that he feels like he got that idea from Talking Dead, because I feel like I got the idea for the Nerdist Theater at Meltdown after we did Smodcastle, and I was like looking for an office. I'm like, why shouldn't my office be at a performance space?
Yeah,
I know lots of comedians.
Mm-hmm. It's good. There's a good show.
Turns out
this
you don't
week.
Know as many as you thought.
I know quite a few. I know enough.
That's true.
I'm lousy with comic friends. I got enough. I did I went to Toronto this past weekend to perform as, you know, like my last kind of handful of shows before I shoot the special this week. And it was great. Well, Toronto was cold as fuck.
Toronto's cold in February.
But it hadn't been. They're temperatures have been in like the 40 degrees Fahrenheit range.
Global warming.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden it's just like flash frost, I think they called it.
Yeesh.
And it's just the kind of it's the kind of cold where you go outside and for the first 10 seconds you're like, hey, this is so bad. And then all of a sudden your ears feel like they're imploding.
Yeah.
And then you, you cry, and then the tears fuse your eyes shut.
Yeah. Well, both of you never really grew up in a place like that.
Well, I lived in Denver from when I was in high school. But Denver cold just isn't the same as as Lake Ontario cold.
Yeah,
that's just a different
kind
of cold.
There were days. I mean, I remember the weather reports in the morning. Sometimes in Boston, it would be like, "Don't have exposed skin for more than 10 seconds."
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Yeah. The coldest I ever felt was it was January in Pennsylvania, like Western Pennsylvania.
It can get chilly out there.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty. It hurt. It hurt real bad.
But I got to say, this place that I performed, the Comedy Bar, fucking great.
Nice.
So great. It's a sort of a new-ish comedy venue, but it's more UCB than it is comedy club.
Yeah.
And so there's two small little like black box theaters, and you know the room that I did, it's just set up like a black box theater, but it seats like 200 people.
Oh, nice.
And it's fucking great.
Is there a bar there?
There's a bar in the middle that kind of connects the two rooms. Yeah.
I know. I think there should be a bar in a comedy venue.
A lot of socializing. Like you can go out and socialize. Like imagine if the UCB had two theaters and a bar.
I'm imagining it. See, well, it sounds great.
Right? It does sound great. And
that's what I always liked about pianos in New York.
Right.
It's like you have that area to go to hang out.
It's really great. And they, you know, all the guys who run it are comics themselves. And so but it's run really well. And so they know how to, like all the local comics that they put with me were similarly themed comedians.
Oh, that's nice.
Like Nerds with Guitars was a comedy duo that did a bunch of great stuff, and just a bunch of comics who were just really funny, and it was just all in the same vein. It was really, really smart.
That's great.
So it was a blast. They're so nice up in
Canada.
We'll
come back, Toronto. Don't worry.
We will come back. We'll have to go back up. Everyone asked about you guys, and I said, I'm sorry. I'm just here getting ready for the special. But I'll bring Matt and Jonah back.
Yes. I'm waiting to find out how much I have to pay after to open up for you on the special.
It'll probably be around $1,000.
I don't know, because
why do you have to pay? Why do you have to?
I asked them. I was like, you know, I'm not on TV, and they're like, yes, but the production is after all.
No.
And I was like, all right.
Oh, shit.
Say, take it up with my lawyers. Yeah.
And I was wondering why the tickets out there to New York were so expensive. I didn't realize it's a President's Day weekend.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
That's why it is.
That's why, like, my flight back alone was like $400. I was like, this is weird.
Yeah, we have a dark. We're dark on Monday. That's the show. Actually, we don't have to come in, but I'll be here for a podcast
for President's Day.
We have a podcast on Monday?
We do.
Mm.
Well, we're supposed to. Yeah. But it's at noon. Is it too early?
I'm going to walk here.
Well, I'm coming back on Saturday.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be able to make cake, though.
Sunday, guys.
That's all right.
Sunday of next week, I'll be at Gallifrey 1.
I'm going to go to Gallifrey 1, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Gallifrey 1, 2, 3.
Oh, my God! Jody, you did it!
Well, it's been a lot of fun.
I'm going to go to Gallifrey.
The podcast goes
3, 2, 1, contact.
Contact.
Yeah, Gallifrey won the Doctor Who convention in Los Angeles. I'm going to go
on
Sunday.
Like in Torrance or something?
It's at the Airport Marriott.
Where would it be?
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it.
You went last year. You had fun.
I did have fun.
You did that field piece for Ferguson.
I did the field piece for Ferguson. And this year we're shooting a... this year for the Nerdist channel, we're shooting
a
cosplay show.
Wow.
Yeah. There's some amazing cosplay at Gallifrey 1.
Like, I'd imagine I wouldn't recognize a lot of it. I imagine there's a lot of original Doctor Who cosplay
not
going on.
Not as much as you'd think.
No, not as much as you think.
Because of the youth getting into it.
Well, because a lot of the original Doctor Who stuff, there was a lot of rubber masks.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know, like now with the more, with the contemporary Doctor play, you know, there's Weeping Angels and there's Slavine. And like there's so many different types of...
Slavine would be tough.
There's so many different types of characters that you are really impressed by the cosplay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just seeing Weeping Angels alone is enjoyable for me.
There's some good ones.
Yeah.
There's like people bring mostly functioning Daleks.
Oh, wow.
Mostly functioning.
Oh, they're fully functioning.
They don't kill people?
No, they'd be full of hate. They'd be hating lasers. Just all hating lasers.
Schraub had Dalek cufflinks at the wedding.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What a nerd. Love it.
Great. That is great.
Cool. I would have Enterprise cufflinks.
I do. There is information on the Nerdist site if you are going to Gallifrey 1 in Los Angeles and you are going in costume and you do want to be part of this show that we're shooting there on Sunday.
Come talk to me.
Yeah, Matt's going to be on the show. So along with Chloe Dykstra.
She's probably easier on the eyes, guys.
At Skydart.
Talk to me.
At Skydart on the Twitter.
She has better hair than me, too.
Okay, you got to get off
fucking
this.
A.
You know what, though? It's hard for me to...
Your hair, by the way.
You got to get off this? Isn't that what his hair is telling to each other?
No, your singled out hair. Like, I feel like that's in the pantheon of great hair. There's a pantheon of hair in the 90s.
Hair drapes.
No, I understand that. But in the 1990s, when I was a youth,
mm-hmm.
That is the hair I wanted.
Are you?
Because then you had it, and then Sean from Boy Meets World had it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, that's the hair I want.
Where it just parted in the middle and just hung straight down.
Yeah.
And the length.
Like dueling waterfalls.
Yeah. It was pretty. It was pretty obnoxious.
No, I love
my fucking hair.
I could never do it though because my hair is so spaffro-y. That's a Spanish afro, in case you're wondering at home.
Spaffro.
That seems a bit sweaty.
Sweaty.
That is amazing. Yeah, I don't know. I look back at the old, the pictures from the old days, and
you had a weird lisp too, a weird affectation on your voice.
I know. I don't know what it was.
You would say things like this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's go to Jenny McCarthy.
I think I was just, I don't know what it was.
Clenching your jaw?
Just, maybe. I was just, you know, I was so uncomfortable for so much of that.
But it worked for the time that it was.
Ugh. It was like a different, that was Peter.
But your hair, come on. Your hair was great. Don't deny it.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. And for the most part, it's hanging in there.
Could you grow it out? Could you grow out the waterfall again? Do you think it would do it? Do you think your hair would still do it?
Mm-hmm.
Can we put you in a wig like that for
they put me in a wig like that.
The Storch PSA?
We did it for the Storch PSA and Web Soup, and then we did it for, it was the same wig that we used on Attack of the Show. Somewhere on YouTube is this thing we did called like Nerd It Out or something where we made fun of Single Out on Attack of the Show. Nice. And they gave me the wig and I was all floppy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like I was on that show. Oh my God, that's Singled fantastic. Out. Jesus Christ. I forget I was the guy on that show a lot of the time. And people are like, were you on Single Out? I'm like, I don't think so. Oh, yeah, I guess I was. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to Fry's to buy a television this weekend, and I ended up buying the perfect meatloaf pan. Have you ever seen the commercial for it?
Can you? So it gets.
It makes perfect meatloaf.
Does it have HDMI inputs?
No, none. But it has a part where you can lift out the meatloaf you just made.
Oh, pretty in sweet, high def?
Well, it's 3D because it's real. Real and delicious.
How often do you make meatloaf?
Never. But
Matt Meyer, ladies and gentlemen.
But to the point of
you
Jonah Ray,
a perfect meatloaf maker. I know what's happening. You're standing there. You never eat meatloaf. You see the perfect meatloaf maker, and you go, "Oh my God,
scratch
I would love
that.
Perfect meatloaf."
I do eat meatloaf all the time. I eat turkey meatloaf.
How often do you make meatloaf?
That's the thing. I never had the right pan.
No, I'm sure you have.
No.
Or meatloaf making skills.
Well, Greta's around for that.
Is
there a lot of bread in meatloaf?
No, you can make it without it.
Yeah, you can make it without it. I mean, the bread, I think,
the
traditionally holds it together. Yeah.
But you can you can put a little more egg in there, which is fine.
And spit.
Hey, is Greek yogurt all right on the diet?
I don't think so.
Damn it. So into it right now.
I'm so into Greek yogurt.
It's so fucking good. With honey?
That sounds great.
It is good.
You know, you can go on the diet, John, and have it one day a week.
I've had to give up the old.
I'd rather have fucking, you know, ice cream than Greek yogurt if I was going to have it on a cheat day.
Trying to.
Sometimes you just have weird cravings, okay? That's why I went to fucking Soup Plantation, asshole. God.
Soup Plantation, asshole?
I would not go there.
I kind of had to give up chai latte, sort of.
Why?
You gaining weight?
No, I'm not.
No,
but
look at him.
Hey.
But
he's very quick to answer that.
I just feel like,
for the record,
pretty much the same weight I've been for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it's a bad long-term plan.
Why?
Because it's all sugar.
It's really good, though.
I know it's good, but
just treat it like a snack.
Can't.
Because you would. Why?
Oh, it's.
Yeah, that's exactly
like
what
a shake.
I used to drink.
This is a half calf latte.
Okay, not that. But every day I would drink a grande non-fat chai.
It's just the milk is sugar, turns into sugar, and the sugar part turns into sugar. And you're basically consuming more sugar than a Snickers bar.
The day I figured out that venti Americanos are only 20 calories and zero carbs was the day I kicked this diet into high gear.
By the way, I'm glad this has turned into an episode of Sex and the City. What shoes are you wearing?
Yeah, this just became the fucking View.
Which one of us believes in God?
No, because none of us are that joyless.
Speaking of yourself.
What if I
just did it like this now?
So just actually still sound okay. You could do it like that.
Cool.
Jonah has completely turned his back to Matt Myra and is weirdly planting his mouth on the on the microphone.
Hey.
What? Yeah. You're looking away.
I don't like.
Do you want to look at us? Make eye contact.
Hey, what's up?
No, stop. You have to look at us. Do you want to stop looking at the wall?
It's very funny for us.
I know, but
I love it.
As long as we're having fun, really.
It is. Really the point here,
I am tired. I apologize if my energy seems low. I slept, you know, I went to New York and did Fallon last week, and we announced Course of the Force, which was really fun. And then the next morning, went to Toronto, did great shows. And then Saturday night, I didn't get back to the hotel after it was like, you know, the second show ended at like 12:30. Uh-huh. And then I said hi to people afterwards for about an hour. So I got back to the hotel at like 2 a.m. And I got picked up at 5:45 a.m. to come back to L.A. And so
did you get a nap in before talking dead?
Yeah, I slept on the plane.
That was like D.C.
I can't sleep on.
I absolutely slept. I slept. You know who I sat next to on the fucking airplane?
Who did you say? Oh my God! Please be Moby again.
It was not Moby.
Oh,
I thought you said Mel B, like the Spice Girl.
Please that would be great too.
Yeah,
but even better. Even better than a Mel B Moby sandwich.
Oh, that's like an Oreo.
Yeah. It was fucking Kurt Russell.
No way.
He was awesome. I didn't talk to him, but
it would be really funny if he pulled out his iPad and was just watching Big Trouble in Little China.
I think it'd be cooler if he was watching Overboard.
Well, I couldn't see him because of the pods were angled in a weird way that you couldn't see.
Were you on a space plane?
No. Yep, I was on a space plane. No, I was on Air Canada.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It is surprisingly difficult to get to and from Toronto.
Is it really?
Yes. It is surprisingly expensive, and it is surprisingly difficult.
We would drive
nonstop.
Whenever we'd go.
It's difficult nonstop.
Oh, yeah. That's always a problem.
But I had to take a nonstop flight because I didn't want to take the chance that I was going to miss talking. Talking Dead's a live show, so if I'm I miss it, that is a problem. so there were these crazy pods which reclined all the way.
Oh,
and
shit.
And so I just, as soon as the plane had to get de-iced.
That's one of my dreams.
To de-ice a plane? It's not that hard.
No, to sleep on a plane like that.
Oh, and
you can fully recline.
It's pretty great. And then as soon as we took off, I just, you know, I took a melatonin, which is great because it makes me sleep for about 3 or 4 hours.
Nice.
I was out until I heard. We are now running our initial descent.
That's a great feeling.
It's fucking awesome.
It's so awesome.
It's like going to the bathroom, coming back, having your food there. It's like one of those kind of things.
Yep. It's like thinking you're getting taken to prison, but instead it's a blowjob camp.
That is the weirdest analogy.
I guess prison is blowjob camp. Yeah. It just depends on which side of it you're on. So scratch that analogy.
Oh, we're at a blowjob camp.
That was ill-conceived. They really should call it, but you're like, I'm sending you to blowjob camp.
Hooray!
For how long? Like 99 years.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
that's
know,
great.
I guess I'll bide my time with all these blowjobs I'll be getting.
You sure will.
Oh, getting?
Giving?
Giving.
And when those bars slam home.
Oh, I love that movie.
And when there was no crawdad to be found. I was doing a different
movie. I think we should get those fully reclining seats when we go to England to do the podcast live. I'm floating it, people.
You're welcome to pay for that.
No, yeah, sure.
You can do it.
I just want to lay down on a plane. It doesn't even have to be moving or go anywhere. So if you can arrange this, thank you.
Listen, I don't...
Like, if you know somebody that has a plane that says, Matt can lay down on the plane for 10 minutes. It's not going anywhere, but he can lay down on the plane. I want to feel that feeling.
Can I brag a little bit about Virgin First Class?
Sure.
It's great.
Oh, Virgin.
What?
Virgin Atlantic.
It is?
Yeah. Okay. You think it's going to be worse,
Virgin
but it's
First Class?
It's first class.
In general, first class?
I've flown Virgin America first class, and it's not that great.
I think it's great.
It's not that great.
I always fly Virgin America to New York. Always.
But.
Nope. I think it's great.
Okay. Well,
I disagree.
You're not as fat as me.
Okay.
Hey, wait.
I think
give yourself a break.
I think the food is great,
you
and I think
me?
I think that I like the seats recline really far. I think it's great,
mm-hmm.
But Virgin Atlantic, it's just like a cafe the whole time. So in the middle of the flight, you can go, can I have a latte? And they go, of course. And then they fucking bring it to you.
Nice.
It's
that,
amazing.
I do love that about first class. When I want cookies, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I say I want.
You can do that on all Virgin flights, though.
You can order food whenever you want.
Order it and pay for it.
Yeah.
Or just ask. and they bring it to you for no charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm snooty. I fly places first class a lot of the time, all right?
I don't, but I would.
If I could afford it, I would.
You know, I did it. I started doing it a few years ago because I was traveling so fucking much, like almost every weekend.
Yeah.
And my back got so fucked up from being in a plane seat every weekend.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That there was a period of like a year and a half where I was having to get cortisone shots in my lower back on both sides, like every 6 months, just to be able to walk around. And so I was like, you know, I think. And so what started happening was I started turning down stuff and I didn't want to travel because it was so painful.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, I think, and I would dread it. I was like, I think I'm just going to invest the money in not being in excruciating pain all the time.
That's Jeselnik. He says that's the one extravagance he has is flying first class.
That is my. I mean, like that is.
He lives like Moby. Otherwise,
I don't live like Moby.
I've seen your house. Okay, nothing in it. You got nothing in it.
No, there really isn't much in it. There's some places to sit and things like
true.
That.
That stuff was in there before you got there.
Just pillows.
It's very minimalist.
Yeah.
Man, you got nothing in here. No. It's minimalism.
Oh, so fancy nothing.
Yeah, fancy nothing.
Fancy nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, but it is.
I always will ride it out and hope for an upgrade at the airport. And it happens, I would say, 40 to 50% of the time I can get an upgrade to first class when I go to the airport. I got to pay for it. But.
We should just start an airline, you guys.
Nerdist Airlines.
Oh, my God.
Just
Nerdist
start airlines.
You can just lay down on the plane for 10 minutes.
Just like Richard Branson.
Just like
He started an airline.
You want to be Richard Branson.
I got to start an airline. I want an island and an airline and a train and a mobile phone.
And a hot air balloon.
Hot air balloon and a space vehicle.
Does he have a train?
Yeah, there's Virgin Trains.
That's fucking like.
Or there, at least there were. I don't know if there's still, but there were.
Like, that would be. If the rail system was what it was, you know, and you had your own super awesome train.
You could still take trains.
That would be opulence.
Anywhere?
No. Like, if you had your own fucking locomotion. Like, if you had. Why is all the train knowledge I have gone?
Oh, track? Probably.
Like, if you had a D90, like your own D90.
Oh, a D90, yeah.
Which is
the Nikon?
It's a diesel.
Oh.
Made by, hang on, fuck, it's all gone. It's all gone. Everything I knew about trains is gone. But anyway, if you had your own fucking train.
Weird. It's weird that your brain forgot all that useful information.
I think you should write a book called Everything I Know About Trains is Gone. And then it's just all about the space program. Pretty sweet.
But that, I mean, you know, like that train in GoldenEye.
Right.
Russian train that they have. It's all like deck. They have a dining car and like an office on there. But like, I think a super rich guy having his own train is the shit.
Okay. So, obviously, I think we all agree that your very own spacecraft to go into low orbit would really be the coolest thing in the world.
No.
No?
Train would be cooler. Train would be cooler.
Private jet?
Pretty cool.
Private jet, pretty cool.
Private jet's pretty
I've
cool.
I've never been on a private jet. But I hear it's amazing because you basically just, they drive you up to the plane and you get on it and take off. Whenever you want.
You get that experience at Burbank when you fly out of Burbank.
For the most part.
But
Burbank. Then you don't have some guy falling asleep on your shoulder in Southwest.
Sorry about that.
But it's all right. You kept me warm. You patted me from the weird comedy routines in the Southwest. At least they try to keep it light and fun.
It is weird.
Okay, so private train over personal submarine?
No, personal submarine wins.
Does
no.
it?
Yes.
No.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No.
Thank God.
But then you're limited to where you can go.
You mean everywhere in the world?
Coastally. Yeah, do you want to be on the interior or do you want to live on the... Okay, so maybe the idea
is... That is claustrophobic.
Interior for the train.
Big submarine.
Exterior for the submarines.
Yeah.
If it's like Nuclear Hunt for Red October, but it would have to be a huge submarine to not feel like it was the submarine ride from Disneyland.
Yeah.
Where you feel like, I'm trapped in a sea coffin.
Yeah.
I do like that ride quite a bit, though. Have you ridden the new one, the Nemo one?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's not great.
They didn't even bother to... It's like the story of it is just is very kind of thrown together. Like, where's Nemo? And then it's the turtles. Dude! food, and then like a fucking octopus, or and then the sharks, and then like there's Nemo, and then you get out. And like, really, that's what you guys did?
Like,
well, that's
describing kind of every Disney dark.
That's
ride.
Every the original Disney rides. Even the Little Mermaid one is just the story rides.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? What's so funny about this is that we've come to a place where we so take technology for granted because technology is such a convenient way to do things. Whereas 20 years ago, the technology of the Finding Nemo ride with just the digital projections and all the stuff that they do would have been fucking mind-blowing. But now it's like, yeah, whatever. I could do that on my iPhone. And it's so now I feel like you respect like fully working animatronic puppets more than just like digital projections.
Well, that was
what's
so good about the Little Mermaid ride is the gesticulation that Ursula has. Yeah. It's scary. You see her, the way her hands move are just insane.
Also, the animatronic figure for the Wicked Witch of the West in the Great Movie Ride in Disney World, because that's one of their most, that's the one they keep updating that one.
Yeah.
Like that's the one they try the new stuff on, and like she looks crazy good.
Really?
Yeah, and then.
That Wicked Witch is looking good lately.
Damn, Witch looking good.
Looking good, the, Witch.
Also, I like the underwater hair effect on the Ariel.
Yes. Yeah. That is cool. Yeah.
But yeah, animatronics are still there. I like dark rides quite a bit. Like, I like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And,
oh, Mr. Toad's is... fucking love Mr. Toad. I love Mr. Toad's because they had to be creative because they didn't have the technology. So they do a lot of stuff with forced perspective and
Peter Pan ride,
and glow-in-the-dark shit. And like,
Peter Pan ride is a crazy line.
Always crazy.
It's good.
Always crazy.
Pinocchio, I think, actually, of all the dark rides, that's the one I enjoy the most.
Alice in Wonderland?
Meh.
No. Off with the head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one's kind of cool because it goes like you end up outside for a second.
And like the haunted house and solving the problem with the ghost with reflections and like all that stuff was so brilliant.
The new updated Haunted Mansion at Disney World.
I said haunted house. I meant Haunted Mansion. I'm sorry.
I know you meant that. At Disney World has new ghost effects.
Oh, yeah. I saw like a video on it. Yeah.
I went in July when I went to see my parents and saw the space shuttle die. It's really, really, really cool.
Did they hire ghosts?
They have the ghosts. They're digitally done now, but you're looking at the mirror, you're looking at the screen, and what they do is, like, for instance, if Jonah's in there and a ghost comes up, it can take Jonah's head off.
Yeah.
And it's animated as such, like, they can take Jonah's head.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's cool.
They decapitated you?
I wasn't there. This was just an example of if I were there.
Yeah, oh, this is Theory Jonah.
This is Theoretical
Theory Jonah.
Theory Jonah's
nice. We ride rides together and he doesn't.
Matt, you're my best friend.
Rarely ever.
You're my
what? Rarely ever.
Rarely ever. Only when the mics are on.
Yeah. Well, and when they're off.
You guys are like the cat dog of the Nerdist podcast.
Cat dog.
I don't get that reference.
You never saw Cat Dog? Nickelodeon?
Is that the half cat, half dog that had both sides of the body?
Okay, yep.
I get it now. I didn't know what it was called.
How'd you figure it out?
Well, you see, Jonah,
You're doing it. You're really doing it. You're cat dogging.
Cat dogging.
Guys, stop cat dogging.
I love that scene with Joe Lucilio in One Out American Summer where they just. Ken Marino goes off screen. He's like, you're doing it. What? No. You're doing it.
Are they making a sequel?
That's what Showalter said.
Yeah, who knows? It'd be pretty neat.
That's a lot of schedules to clear.
Yeah. I'm sure it was the first time, though. They were all working the first time.
Yeah. But not as much. I mean, you got to get Bradley Cooper clear now.
Yeah.
You know what? I bet he would do it.
Oh, he'd do it. Yeah. I'm just talking about schedule-wise.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Do you think Jake Fogelness will come back?
I don't think so. You know why? He's busy on Twitter.
And serious.
He really knows how to make kids angry. He's really good at it.
He knows how to talk to Jen Kirkman constantly.
I love Jake. I listen to Jake all the time. I've been listening to
His show?
Yeah. Well, I've been listening to him on SiriusXMU.
Yeah. How is it?
I like it.
His playlists are great.
There's so many. I've discovered so many. It's made me feel like not a crazy, irrelevant music person anymore. Like, oh, these are all bands that I actually enjoy that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Which made me feel better. That made me feel better.
Good. Yeah. Did I talk about Bandcamp, which I thought was pretty cool?
One time someone shoved a flute in your pussy?
Yeah.
American Pie Bandcamp?
Bandcamp. It's a bandcamp.com. It's a site where...
I know Bandcamp.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've been just like tooling around there, checking out all these unsigned bands. It's awesome.
Are you getting ready for a Jonah Radio?
I'm kind of compiling. I'm gonna wait for people to start sending me stuff, and I can't wait for the segment I'm gonna do called "You Got to Be Shitting Me," or at a bar I talk to somebody about the time they shit their pants.
That's gonna be on Jonah Radio.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Are you going to tell a story about a time you shit your pants?
Yeah, I think I'll start with that. And then, because D gave me this little two-way recorder thing I want to do. And so I just kind of want to have someone tell me this time they shit their pants. Why are you glaring at me?
What do you mean? I'm not glaring at you. It just seems like that because I'm chewing on that. What?
You're not smoking anymore, are you?
Oh, yeah.
You are?
I'm back.
What did you do that for?
Super Bowl gadget prawn.
Don't blame it on things.
No. You asked what I did that for. Can you stop? And I tried to give you the reason that I had.
I think you should stop.
I want to.
Just do it.
I want to.
Please.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
Wait till you lose a lot more weight, and then you can start smoking again, right, Chris? Is that what you mean?
Jonah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to lie, you guys. Smoking helps the losing of the weight.
yes, because...
also the losing of your life.
Yes, death really takes off the pounds.
Well, at first you actually weigh a little more.
Then they suck out your innards.
Yeah.
Which you know.
All about.
Here's a question.
Was this acoustic?
Here's come here.
I don't know what that is.
I don't even know how to go.
Guys,
in on
you
that.
Know this know one. Okay. Hang on. I'll hum it.
I still feel like you've changed the melody. I don't like what you did there, and you're kind of pitchy, dog.
It's you know this one.
equipment.
Question.
This is from Lamb. It just says Lamb
of God.
Could be
good band.
Take away the sins of the world.
Oh, someone went to Catholic Mass.
Sure did.
I remember that whole fucking mess. I was an altar boy for years.
I was an altar boy for a couple years.
I did it once and they asked me not to come back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You were that much of a turnoff, huh?
Yeah, you want this communion wafer, you piece of shit?
This Jonah kid does nothing for my heart on. Why is your priest from Boston?
He got kicked out of Boston and sent to Hawaii.
Yeah. he wasn't kicked out. They just restacking.
Body of Christ, you piece of shit?
Yeah.
You
body of Christ, fuck you.
Amen, you piece of shit.
You are the least attractive altar boy I have ever met.
This is from Lamb, dear gentlemen of the Nerdist podcast. What are your feelings about the rumors about a legitimate Back to the Future musical being developed for Broadway? Will you do if one of the songs ends up eerily resembling what was performed in the Donald Glover episode? I feel like
good for them.
I appreciate that people think that we had anything to do with that. A Back to the Future musical possibly happening.
Yeah, I kind of wish we would have got our shit together.
Well, yeah. We had probably had nothing to do with it.
No, America. I'm sure they would have figured it out eventually.
It's a major brand. Yeah. A lot of major brands turn into musicals.
Yeah, Universal hasn't turned a profit on it yet, so they're trying to figure out how.
That's such a... How can you look someone in the eye when you go... Hey, you know, we should probably give these actors residuals for one of the highest grossing films of all time. You know, we just haven't made any money. How can you say that to someone without wanting to fucking murder yourself for being such a shithead?
Packaged it and how much it's on TV is just so fucking.
Listen, maybe they say something like, "Don't tell me how you got there. Just show me the end numbers." That way, they don't feel like.
Would you say for them to show you the money?
I'm telling you,
I might if I wanted to.
You know when it. You know like when it. This is a call to music business and film business.
Hello, music business and film
your
business.
Your creative accounting is going to be your undoing because people like Louis C.K. are just going to release stuff on their own and they are not going to need you anymore. And you are making it happen.
Yeah. You hear that? Ass faces?
You are making it happen. And now people are becoming empowered. Content creators are king. So just, you know, you have the distribution channels now. Film and music, sort of.
Yeah.
But don't... get used to that grip.
Yeah.
All right.
Next. Well done.
Next, Clement. This is from MT Adams. Hey, Nerdist fellows.
Hey.
Short form, so I will be brief. Recently had an, quote-unquote, altercation with the delightful Jonah Ray on Twitter. I feel that my comment may have been taken out of context, as evidenced by him blocking me for eternity. And I would just like to take a moment to apologize for any misunderstanding that may have occurred in attempted humor. I have apparently hurt your feelings, Jonah, and I am sorry for that, truly. I find you to be hilarious, and I wish you all the luck in the future. I'm sorry you couldn't see the humor in what I said.
Okay.
What happened?
Well, I don't know.
What happened?
It was right off the heels of some other guy calling. I posted a picture of my brother. This had nothing to do with this guy. I think I know who he's talking about. Some guy... Like, I post a picture of my brother. Is that guy also a poi N-word? And this is something he did before. And I said, hey, that's not funny. Your ironic use of the term is not funny. Don't do it. And then, he responded with another horrible thing. And then, the next time something happened. I remember it was just, I don't know. It was just one of those things on a whim where I...
So he created a regional.
This isn't this
he created,
guy.
He created a regional N-word, basically.
Yeah, but it was kind of off the heels of that. That was still in my mind. And then someone else giving me shit on Twitter.
Oh wait, so this guy didn't say.
Yeah. That's not that guy.
This guy didn't say poi N-word.
But I was coming off of just kind of.
The N-word's Nutella, right? Because mixing poi and Nutella is like sacrilege.
Yes. Love Nutella.
Okay. Do you really? I haven't gotten into it.
I only like it in crepes. Is that weird?
No. No, actually, delicious. You're right. It is great on crepes.
Yeah.
Okay. So he said, I posted a picture because Snuffbox, a great sketch show with Matt Berry and Rich Fulcher, is now on Netflix Instant Watch.
Yep.
And I was like, I just posted saying, oh, awesome. It's on Instant Watch. It's great comedy. Like, stop
I'm
what you're
you.
Doing.
I'm with you.
I say, stop what you're doing and turn on your Netflix Instant Watch Snuffbox. Boom. Just the thing. He responds with, yeah, maybe I'll quit my job and buy a classic Schwinn to cruise the beach on, too. Blouse sunk in yet, hipster?
He's right, though.
I responded with, who are you? And what hipster would ride a cruiser bike to the beach? That's for Venice Beach hippies like you. Hashtag piece of shit.
I don't think people understand when they draw the hipster card. A hipster would never go out of their way to say something is awesome. A hipster would go out of their way to say, this thing sucks, and that's why I like it. You actually love Snuffbox and Rich Fulcher.
Yes.
So that is literally the opposite of hipsterism.
Yeah, I really didn't get the...
I think I passed a milestone this week.
Oh, my God.
On Twitter.
How big was it?
Oh, it was...
Did they have to break it up with a laser?
And then I'm just... he also... I just, I'm
it was
at
engraved...
I'm looking at his tweets now. Actually just attempted an apology to at Jonah Ray. Hope he sees it and realizes that was all a big misunderstanding.
What's his Twitter handle?
It's MT Adams.
At Matt Myra.
Yeah. At Matt Adams. I passed a milestone this week where a guy...
Oh, sorry. Here, he continues.
Oh.
Apparently I'm a Venice Beach hippie, which I imagine may be a step up from scruffy bearded plaid clad hack.
Oh, hack. That's the word that would have
that's
done
the
it.
One that, and then hashtag bigger POS, bigger piece of shit.
You can't use the word hack fucking around with a comedian. That's like that's like our kryptonite word. Like, wait, what? What do you mean?
And then I was like, you know what? I don't need to put up with it. So he says, block me for that. Sensitive. You called me a piece of shit, you weak fool. Not the other way around. Grow a thicker skin. Thanks for your apology.
Bravo.
I normally don't like to respond to
I try
people.
Not to.
Oh my god,
I didn't even tell you guys. I tweeted this. I told Jonah, I didn't tell you.
Oh sure, I didn't tell you the thing I started a minute ago.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
you
to
pass
a
milestone,
that.
Milestone. First.
No, you tell me your thing. You're very excited
better.
About it.
Milestone's better.
There was
Okay, guys, here's the thing.
I still was very sensitive. I still am not as I'm still not as desensitized as I should be to the internet.
Yeah, me either.
Because I think what happens is I give everyone the benefit of the doubt that they are reasonable human beings, and I can't understand why anyone would go out of their way to say something really shitty to someone that they don't know just to walk up to them and be like, fuck yourself, you fucking piece. Like, I don't really understand that. And so it always hurts my feelings from a humanity standpoint of like, You really think that's okay to be that way in the world? Like, it really hurts my, it just hurts my sense of how the world should be. And so, and you know, whatever. It's like, I, you know, obviously that person has it rough because people who are happy don't think to do things like that. But some guy said, this guy yesterday was like, why are you popular? You fucking suck. You're an idiot. Like, there's all these tweets. And I started to go in that mode of like, you know, the guy had almost no followers. So I was going to be like, well, thankfully, no one gives a shit what you think. And I looked at his profile and eerily, there is such a weird consistency between the people that tweet at me that kind of stuff that hate. Mm-hmm. They all like the same things. It's so fucking weird. Yeah. The data points on it are fascinating. They almost all of them have some type of wrestling or UFC affiliation. And I'm not saying that the people who like wrestling or UFC are dicks.
I like wrestling.
I am telling you that there is an eerie connection between when people go out of their way to say, like, you're a fucking, you suck, and you're not funny. Why the fuck do you have anything in this life? And you go on their profile, they almost always are following UFC fighters. They almost always, or it's so weird, though. Like, that's such an odd data point that I think, so whatever. I'm just not, I don't gel with that group, you know, like, for that section of that group, and that's fine. These guys almost always look the same. They're, like, kind of doughy, little scruffy. They almost have, like, a unibrow. Like, I would love to Freakonomics that shit and really create a profile. You could almost profile them like a serial killer. Well, they're usually between the ages of 18 and 24, the weight of this and this, this height.
And they tweet insults always within a 2-mile radius of their house.
Shocking.
And they always have some relation to the person that they're tweeting at.
That would be so great if they had to report as like Twitter offenders. They had to go into the internet. I'm a Twitter offender. That just make these people not be dicks on the internet.
Yeah.
But and then something just said to me, like, why do I care what this guy? It was the simplest. Well, that guy's entitled to his opinion. Maybe I do suck to him. Fuck it. I don't give a shit. And I really didn't give a shit.
Nice, Chris.
It was really nice feeling.
That's great.
I'm so proud.
Congratulations.
Of coming so not far and still trying to take credit for it.
I want to get there, too. It'll be fun.
What was your big revelation?
It was just really, it was funny. Someone showed me this on the internet, that if you Google my last name spelled incorrectly, M-Y-R-A, that there's a post that comes up from Game Trailers, which is a, you know, a gaming website.
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me pull it up. I need to read the post. There's a thread about me.
And
it is it fair that people like Matt Myra can get girlfriends and we can't?
Sucks.
So
why do you read this stuff?
Oh, it's fucking hilarious.
But you say hilarious with venom.
No. It's funny. And here's the post. Ready? I think it's kind of ridiculous that people like Matt Myra, M-Y-R-A, can get girlfriends. Parentheses. He's the guy on the Nerdist podcast with the YouTube video of him getting run over by his own golf cart. And we can't? ? What the fuck? !
So you're
followed
motivating him.
Followed by a link to the YouTube video.
So you're motivating him.
The second post.
Oh, shit.
I'm pretty sure it's because he doesn't go onto the internet forums whining about how he can't get girlfriends while others can. Go out and meet new people.
Oh, swish. Yeah, nice.
Next guy goes, so true. And then the next guy goes, another thread. It's getting boring, bruh.
Bruh.
Judging from your avatar, I'm going to assume that most girls think you're gay, followed by a animated GIF of bunnies.
All right, but you know what? Straight people enjoy bunnies. That's
my
a weird
favorite. My favorite part of this post is from a gentleman named Rom S3. Who the fuck is Matt Myra?
Boom.
You
laugh like you're surprised someone doesn't know you.
No. I'm laughing at, of course, who the fuck is
that? Why would he be on that thread?
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't, no one should know who I am.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Funny.
This comment's from Star, STARR.
Star from Lost Boys?
Yep.
Get on the bike, Star.
You're eating maggots, Michael. Those are maggots.
Maggots, oh, they're noodles. Don't drink it, it's blood.
These are maggots. Noodle stories.
Noodle stories.
Oh, shit. It's
a maggot story.
These are worms. Noodle stories.
These are noodle stories.
What's the Star have to say?
Yo, Nerdites, I know you have a shit ton going on right now, but I'm curious when the official Nerdist Industries iPhone app is going to be available. I can't wait to have on my beloved podcast and one pleasant little amazing patch. Keep up the awesome. There is a Nerdist app for the iPhone. that is in the approval stage right now.
Couple weeks, right?
At iTunes. We mashed up, Nerdist Industries mashed up with our partner Geek Chic Daily, and Geek Chic Daily became the Nerdist newsletter. So now there's Nerdist News, which you can subscribe to. It's daily. It's just sort of like daily things that will be relevant to your interest. And it's really awesome. I always wanted a newsletter.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited.
That's right.
I got a newsletter. Next stop, submarine.
3 years ago, Chris actually approached me about coming up with a Nerdist newsletter.
That I did.
Do every week or month or something.
And then Matt
like
was like, I don't have time for that.
And then, is that what I said?
Ultimately, you didn't.
Yeah. Well, it turned into some other, whatever. Anyway.
You rightfully said you couldn't do it. Because it would have been too much for you to take on.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot.
I mean,
work.
I see what the Geek Chic guys do to get that newsletter out every day, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So it's good that you didn't try to do it.
He wanted this, and I'm very proud of him.
I'm just glad. I'm just glad. It's nice. They do a really great job, and it's still the same. You know, like content-wise, it'll still be the same, and it'll skew a little more Nerdist-y, maybe. But it's great. I'm so super excited about it. You can subscribe to it on the Nerdist site. There'll be a banner on there that says, you know, subscribe to Nerdist News. But the iPhone app, yes, we built the iPhone app. The iPhone app's good. It's not I'll be honest, it's not an amazing app. It's free. Apps are so shockingly expensive.
Can you play Angry Birds from it?
From your phone, but you can't
from
play Angry
Birds. App?
You want to hear my
back to the drawing board.
Have I talked about my exploration of app development on the podcast before?
Well, we've talked about it. I don't know if we've talked about it just us talking about it or if we've talked
did
about
I talk about how expensive it is? Because there's such a fucking land rush for app development now that it is so. I met with a company in South by Southwest last year. I'm like, okay, I want to do a simple iPhone app that aggregates the podcasts and aggregates the website, maybe has a calendar for dates, and then let's throw a little simple like 8-bit video game on there for people. And they go, okay.
Oh,
so a couple days later, I get the bid. $79,000.
Jesus.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? And like, no, this is what apps cost. Like, this is what a well-functioning app costs.
Wow.
And so I go, okay, well, let's just get rid of the video game element, and we'll just have just aggregate the site and the podcast, whatever. And they were like, okay, we'll get back to you. I get an email like a day later. $30,000.
Man.
I'm like, it's just too much to spend for an app that I'm going to give away for free. So
yeah.
I found a great company in Argentina called BApp. Which my friend Alex Albrecht.
You outsourced this shit?
I did. Yep.
Global economy,
America!
Friend.
America priced me out of America.
Well, America did that.
And so, you know, I did not spend $30,000 on the app. So it's a good app. I mean, it's not, I created it. I didn't create it. I mean, I told them to create it and they made it. It'll basically aggregate pretty much any podcast you want and you can pin it within the app.
Nice.
You can't listen to it and then have it run in the background though. That's a whole separate thing to do.
Oh.
So you have to be in the app if you're listening to it.
Oh.
Well, it's great that you're shitting on the app that I'm about to put out.
Oh.
Yeah.
If I just keep making that noise, it'll stop, right?
Mm-mm. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's just too expensive. I mean, it's like it's so, you know. I spent thousands of dollars on this, and it's still a free app. Like I'm not putting ads on it. It's not going to generate any income.
For this?
I don't want to charge people for it.
A dollar?
Five?
No.
$100.
I would only charge people for it if I spent like $30,000 or $50,000 on it, and I felt like it's a free app. It feels like it should be a free app.
Cool.
It'll aggregate the podcast, aggregate the website. It'd have calendar dates on there. You can pull another podcast on it.
As long as there's an icon of a Nerdist logo I can have on my phone, I'm fine.
There will be. So, you know, maybe some other folks out there will enjoy it more than Matt.
Wait, what?
Who hasn't used it yet.
It was a joke.
No, it wasn't.
I just went, forget it.
It doesn't matter. Listen, admittedly, it's not a $50,000 app. Like, I went on to NPR's app.
Don't defend the app. It's fine.
But it is, you know, like.
You don't have to defend your app.
I feel like I do have to defend
it. To whom?
I don't know. I want people to like it.
They'll like it.
It's free. You don't have to use it.
You can listen to our podcast. Everybody was bitching about Stitcher.
It's free. You don't have to use this. It. You don't have.
Stitcher's free. So is this.
I've had a handful of exchanges with Stitcher.
Maybe we're coming back.
They want us to come back. They have apologized.
Show us
And
the numbers.
I don't care. You all, they've promised to use our feed, all
right,
which is all I care about. I don't care about making money from them. It was just about
lying.
Use the feed, but really do it this time. Don't say you're going to use the feed and then use your own.
Guys, I'm
gonna
use the feed for reels. Is that the email they said?
But their CEO has been he took a lot of abuse from me. I mean, I literally just flat out said, like, here's what everything I think you guys did wrong. And I was pretty direct about it. And he took it and apologized. And I mean, I was pretty fucking mean, where I was like, I don't know if you guys are evil or stupid, but it's one of them. and he was like, you know, then I have to say that we were stupid because I'm not an unreasonable guy. You can ask anyone who's worked with me. I'm not. And I'm very trusting and very malleable when people are just cool. Like, this is all I ever wanted them to be, is just like on the level and cool. And that's it. So they seem to be nice now, and I'm strongly considering it because all I wanted them to be was cool and use our feed, those two things, and that's it. So if they'll do that, I may go back there because, you know, a lot of people do get their podcasts on it.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of a strain it puts on the server. Just a strictly technical term, like technical speaking. I'm just curious about that.
It's not that technical.
Sometimes the Libsyn server gets slow.
It bottlenecks.
Yeah.
It bottlenecks a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, Libsyn has...
By the way, thank you, Libsyn, for existing.
Yeah. I mean, Libsyn has really hung in there, and they've stepped up. Well, yeah. when we first started with Libsyn, there were a lot of problems, and they admitted that they had problems, and they stepped up and they fixed it. This is a little inside podcast. But they've been doing a great job lately, and we haven't really had any problems with them recently.
They host us. They host WTF. They host.
They host like
everything.
Tens of Dana Gould Hour.
They host tens of thousands of podcasts.
Yeah.
And the interface is good, and they've been doing a really nice job lately. We have all our podcasts with them
someday.
You know, I feel bad. There are other companies that people were with that just fucking shut down, and they just
because they couldn't afford everything to keep up with that.
Bandwidth is incredibly expensive. Yeah. When Corolla first started his show, he was paying for all his own bandwidth, and it was like $10,000 a month.
Do you know that when Corolla started his own show, Libsyn existed? And if someone just said to him, look at this.
Part of the learning curve.
$30 a month.
Part of the learning curve.
Which I could have said to him. Didn't ask.
Yeah, Libsyn's been really great. But if you are going to start a podcast, and you do go with Libsyn or whoever you go with, make sure that this is something that we didn't do. Make sure that the feed that you use is a feed burner feed, and that is the URL that you give out to syndicate your podcast.
Yeah.
We didn't do that. We just use the URL straight. Because if anything happens to Libsyn or if they shut down or if we need to move for any reason, it's very tricky within iTunes to change your URL without wiping out all of your ratings and all of your comments and all of you have to start all over all of your subscribers. You lose everything.
You can
do it, but it's very tricky. And if you don't do it exactly the right way, you're fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you use an external, if you use a feed forwarding URL, then you can change whatever the ultimate server is.
I used FeedBurner on Comedy and everything else.
There's Cash Hartzell.
Hey, Cash.
Hey, Cash.
Which I still pay for. I still pay for that podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
You should really stop doing that.
It's just on my card.
Oh.
Just keeps getting renewed.
Let him know. Podcast?
That's fine. Comedy and everything else.
Yeah.
Jimmy Dore.
Yeah. You have literally nothing to do with that podcast anymore other than that you're financing it.
Yeah, whatever.
That's very kind of you.
You're welcome.
I think it's important to sometimes pay for something. When there's like a good, like Tim and Eric's movie. I bought it on demand.
Yeah, but you're just not paying for Tim and Eric's movie to be made, which is what I'm doing.
Oh.
He's paying for the server space.
Oh.
Every
God
month.
Damn it, man. Sorry, I misheard.
Well, this is the end of our hour. I apologize if I was a little sleepy today. My energy was a little low. But I am going to New York tomorrow to shoot the special on Friday, and I'm very excited. And I don't know if there's tickets available, but you can go to nerdist.com/calendar and click on February 17th.
Get them.
Yeah, it's a free show.
And after willing, I'll be there.
After willing.
I'm excited. I have this weird Zen thing that happened last week where I was like...
Was it mid-climax?
I was not coming at the time.
Well, then it probably wasn't that good.
I just kind of felt like, you know what? I feel like I've done the best that I can do, and if that is not going to be good enough, then that so be it. You know, it was sort of like,
yeah, you're just gonna,
there was sort of like, this is what I do. I'm gonna do it on the special. I, you know, it's gonna go how it's gonna go. I have prepared as much as I can. So I'm not going in unprepared. Like,
no,
whatever.
No.
You know, so it's you know, I'm excited about it. I just want to try to enjoy the fact that it's fun and that it's my first special and that I get to have this experience. That this is the only time I will ever get this particular experience.
Yeah.
And so I just want to enjoy it and not get all fucking in my head about what if it's not good? What if the AV Club tells me my comedy's bad or whatever? You know, yeah. Like whatever I get in my head.
The AV Club might not, but the posters,
they're, of course they're going to shit on me, but it doesn't matter. They're all nice people.
Yeah, sure.
But I just kind of, it's not that I don't care, but I just sort of feel like, yep.
Yeah.
This guy's going to do it.
You know, the art of letting go.
You're enjoying your burrito.
I am enjoying my burrito. I'm taking our advice that we so casually cast off at the end of every episode.
I enjoyed mine today.
Just
you guys.
Like
you did.
Yeah.
Good for you, buddy.
I reviewed the Samsung Galaxy Nexus and gave it a 5 out of 5.
Which you
so
love.
If anyone thinks that I am an Apple fanboy, I am. But I also like other good shit too.
I upgraded to a 4G MiFi today.
Oh yeah.
Which I hope works. Because the 3G MiFi units were not amazing.
Yeah, but the 4G MiFi, here's the problem. How much, like, what's your data plan?
It's five gigs a month.
You're going to fucking burn through that so fast. You will. Once you see the speeds that the LTE gets.
Yeah. They're pretty fucking fast. What are they, like 40 down, like 17 up or something like that?
50 megs a second.
Jesus Christ.
A second.
That's as fast as the wideband that's in my house.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have the internet right now. I'm still waiting until February 17th, the internet.
To give people an idea, if you have basic DSL,
yeah,
you get like 3 megs down, mm-hmm. about a meg and a half up.
Yep.
And so we are talking like 15 times that.
Yeah. It's pretty great. 4G LTE.
That's nice.
Soon coming to AT&T.
Would you explain to me how AT&T, mm-hmm. all these people like myself, have unlimited data accounts? Yep,
I do too.
And now all of a sudden,
they're throttling
at 2 megs. When if you paid $10 more a month, you would get up to 3 gigs. But still, unlimited is unlimited. Like that seems
they're not paying 10 more than us.
No, paying it's 10.
No, it's not $10 more.
I thought it was like $10 more.
No, it's less.
$10 less. Oh, great. $10 less, you get a gig, you get a cap.
Yeah, you get capped at 3 gigs.
So how legally do they get around that?
I don't know. Kevin Pereira and I have
been if you have an unlimited account, it's like, hey, sorry that unlimited account doesn't work for your purposes, AT&T.
You know what? I wouldn't even be mad. I wouldn't even be mad if they capped me at 3. If they slowed down the data speed at 3 gigs. If they slowed it down at 3, I'd be okay because I know that the people that pay for 3 gigs also get slowed down at 3.
I know it is hacky to complain about AT&T, and I have refrained from doing it for a very long time because I've been trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
But my service the last week in LA and New York has been
shit
so bad. And the only reason that I first world problem complain about it is because I have to do a lot of work on my phone and I'm not like the network's freezing. I can't get emails. I can't send send texts. And so I rely on that for work. I'm not going on Facebook to play Farmville. Like I'm trying to work
and I
pay for the service and it's been so bad. Like shockingly it happened like in a day, all of a sudden it was just like, wait, it says I have bars, but my texts aren't going through.
Did you get the text message that said you're getting throttled?
No,
I did.
Then you aren't getting throttled.
I got it. It's
I got it too. I was pretty excited.
Let's say AT&T free message. Your data is approaching the top 5% of users. Avoid reduced data speeds. Use Wi-Fi where available. And then I responded to them with, fuck you. I pay for unlimited. I'm going to get unlimited.
Well,
what did they say back?
Nothing.
No. They just throttled you.
The robot that you sent that back to was like, does not compute, and then melted.
Fuck me. Fuck me. Fuck you.
And then the revolution starts.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, like,
boring.
It's just like what I see AT&T doing is capping data, raising rates, and having shittier service. It's in any other era, in any other era, you could jail them for bilking the public.
Up.
And then also in any other era, it'd be pretty amazing that they could be delivering these types of technologies.
Why
they'd be witches.
Up.
You'd burn them. For witchcraft.
You burn them.
Here's my, I think when the new iPad comes out, I'm going to get 3G, but I'm going to get, I think I'm going to get the Verizon.
I'm thinking about switching.
Are you?
Yeah.
I could have switched. We could have switched.
You don't mind the CDMA chipset? Then... Or is there dual, is it dual band?
Oh, we don't know yet. We don't know yet.
Fuck.
It's coming.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Well, enough tech complaining.
Tech Talk with Chris and Matt.
Your show's not nerdy enough. All right. Well, feel like maybe it is.
We just waxed poetic about servers.
We waxed prosaic.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I was being.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Oh my God, 72 minutes. We got to stop this fucking podcast. Enjoy your goddamn burrito, everyone.
Stop this train.
So much for a clean ending.
Is this the train that you want? You want to stop the train that you want? Your super train?
Humming, I was just humming a John Mayer song, Stop This Train.
Oh.
That's a good song.
I'm sure it is.
It's about getting older.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Listen to it.
No.
You're getting older. Me too.
We all are.
Yep, unfortunately. Not with the Rogaine, though. I'm returning the clock.
Looks like the record might not be able to come out till April.
Yours?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because the pressing plant's backed up, and it looks like it's going to take 6 weeks.
Is AT&T running it?
Pressing plant?
My guess is that April will get here super fast.
Well, no, I know, but like I wanted them for our dates. Like I wanted them for South by Southwest, and we have a ton of dates in March. I wanted to be able to have
them. Oh, yeah.
That makes the April people that much more special.
The April people sounds like a weird Star Trek thing.
I would watch it.
Spock, have you taken a reading on the April people?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait.
Sorry, Brita.
We already said that.
Oh. Stop it.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that is simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to HOVER.com/Nerdist.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.